This episode of How Is Your Run Today is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get special life insurance rates. Just go to healthiq.com/HWYRT to support this show and to learn more. We're also sponsored by The Art of Framing. In Middleton, Massachusetts, Brian, we recently got a gift from the great artist Lori Richmond that is just gorgeous. Some prints of hers, of her runs, art on her runs. Shouldn't we get those framed?
Yes, they're in an envelope with my other artwork that's ready to go. I just have to make the trek up to Middleton. It's not even that far. I should do that straight away.
And when you go, all you have to do is say 20% off. Thanks to HWRT, please.
Thanks, HWRT. Thanks to The Art of Framing. www.bostonartofframing.com.
Let's do the show.
Frame that. Peter, I feel as if everything is coming to some sort of climactic ending, and yet I know nothing's ending, but we're reaching a pinnacle. I feel as if the holiday season rushes on. I feel as if we're still riding the tide of Thanksgiving, and Millinocket is breathing down our necks. Can I mix more metaphors, please?
You always do. You are not wrong. The juggernaut that is the Millinocket Marathon is coming at us, and we must accept it.
We're going to it, and it's we're going to crash into it.
It's going to absorb us, and we're going to become one with it and further its purpose.
I'm feeling like we're spinning toward the end of 2001, A Space Odyssey. And that last 20 minutes of the film is going to be our experience at Millinocket, where we're simultaneously very old and very, very young.
And Igor Babushkin will be the space baby.
You know, Igor Babushkin recently called in to our hotline. I'm not sure how he did that because we don't have a hotline, but I do have audio from him.
He had the secret number. Are we going to go right to that? Let's do that.
Let's just do it. He had a lot of stuff to say, and I think our audience needs to hear it. It's very relevant.
All right.
And not too topical.
Let's take that on in.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Igor from the North Shore here. Just wanted to kind of message in because I when I listened to episode 105, I just felt compelled. I had to just kind of piggyback off what you guys were saying in preparation for Millinocket. You guys made some great points about layering, you know, wearing socks, you know, everything, all that's very important. The gloves, hats, you know, your different types of base layers. That's all great points. But last year I was clean shaven when I ran Millinocket and I didn't have anything really to protect my face. And my face froze in a grimace. It took like 3 hours to thaw. And the whole time I was wondering, why didn't anyone invent something to protect your face? And lo and behold, there was something, and they're called buffs. And I know Brian had kind of mentioned that in his long list of, you know, things to bring for this race. But I really wanted to belabor this one point, okay? Because this year I grew a beard, and I had bought myself a buff after that race last year, just in preparation for this year. And I'm still hoping it's enough, you know? And I know that there's, you know, there's people out there that don't want to grow beards, that can't grow beards, work won't allow them to grow beards. I mean, whatever your class of, you can't have a beard for this race, that's okay. I just know that there's a solution out there, and it's called the buff, I believe, and I really recommend it. I can't stress this enough. Please get the merino, you know, for the cold. It's thick. It's like an infinity scarf. It'll protect you. Because I heard that this person had wrote in, and they're from South Texas, and they're going to be running the most northern marathon in December in the United States. It's just going to be quite a difference in temperature from South Texas to northern Maine. I really wanted this individual to be ready for the Arctic wind. I'm guessing that may happen, may not, but you got to be prepared. I was not last year, but this year I will be. So that's my first point.
Okay, wait. That's That's his first point. How many more points does he have?
It's extensive, Peter.
Okay, so let's just take this in bite-sized chunks.
Yes, I think that's the way to do it.
First off, he's not the only one with a beard right now. I don't know if you've noticed, Brian.
It's like looking in a mirror.
And it's like I'm old. And more
just
old.
Just because there's a few gray hairs
it's
in your beard?
Mostly white. It's not even gray now.
You may be accurate.
Many people have asked.
Yes.
If I was trying to pick up some mall work as a Santa. A couple people have asked that. And I don't know if I'm offended or if I, much like the great Santa JG, is that something I want to keep in the old back pocket? I don't know. Maybe. But I might be offended. Not sure. To his point about buff love, yeah, totally. I think buffs are a great, for someone who is follically challenged in the chin area. Yeah, it's a great answer. I think they're way better than scarves because you don't have to worry about them unraveling or they're also multi-purpose. You can pull them up over your face. You can pull them up into your head like a faux hat without a top.
I wore a buff for our marathon on my head.
Right.
Under a hat. And because it was a little raw and windy and when I would get warm, I'd lift it up over my ears. And then when it got cool, I pulled it down over my ears because that was the only thing that was getting cold at that point.
I think it's great.
I love the buffs. Yeah, you can wear them on your head.
We're pro buff on this show.
They also, of course, have a variety of uses.
Sure.
They warm your face.
Yeah.
If you put them in front of your nose and your mouth, they warm your breath,
yes.
Which is really necessary.
Yes.
If it's really cold. They also will collect any expectorant that may be coming from you.
That's a bit much.
But it's true.
I hear that.
And if it's very, very cold and that freezes,
you're going to get stuff.
You then can turn it. You go 360 degrees, full turn on that buff. So hopefully your race isn't so long that you fill it. Okay. Maybe you want to bring two.
We're going to get a letter from my friend Sydney because what you've just described is mucus neck.
Noses run.
She's not going to like that.
And you need something to stop it from running.
What she'll like about it is at least you're containing it. You're not putting it on the street.
Peter, let me just take this one step deeper.
Oh, boy.
The beard is there to keep your face warm. It's not there to collect your boogers.
Or anything.
No.
You shouldn't collect it. I'm very serious about
this. So I think you should take two buffs.
Keep it clean.
One to keep your face warm, the other to clean your beard constantly as you're running.
Well, that's another good thing, purpose for the buff. It could be my hand sock replacement.
That's true. You may shove it in your mouth just for comfort. I don't understand that one, but hey, you be you.
Sometimes when you're going up the hill, you got to bite down.
I'm going to be carrying a solar charged hair dryer to keep my beard fluffy at all times.
That's good.
And dry.
Igor himself is rocking a sweet, sweet beard. I've seen it in person. And
you guys look like brothers. He's the younger brother.
He's the way younger brother. What is his second point that we need to hear?
And secondly, I just wanted to let Brian know that it was episode 98, approximately 6 minutes and 20 seconds in, episode 98. And there was a mention that he was getting a new co-host. And luckily I had let kind of the information play out, if you will, but I had already grabbed my pitchfork and was forming a mob ready to march down onto the Boston Public Library to start protesting this news when I realized that Peter Sagal wasn't going to be taking over Peter Villa's job, which was kind of a sigh of relief because, you know, I'll be honest with you, Brian, in this world of, nuclear war being a tweet and a fat joke away, I'm just looking for some stability and having the show come up on Thursdays, at 8 p.m., sometimes on a Tuesday if it's a Thanksgiving week, that's okay. But I need that consistency of Brian and Peter Villa, Brian Gould and Peter Villa being the hosts of this little here show. It's just, it's important for some of us. And that's what we need, to ensure that everything's right with the world. So I just wanted to thank you guys for doing the show. Keep doing it.
Okay. Wow. Kind words. Ironic that he's worried about me being replaced when you're the one whose hip is going to be removed and left on a shelf and you won't be able to crawl to the studio. And really it's him, who I see as my co-host, your replacement.
That's hilarious. That's not at all what the surgery I'm having.
None of that will be true.
So let's just forget that. And look, you know, Mark Maron can't do his gig forever. And when he asks you to replace him, Igor will probably come in and be my co-host.
Right.
Because Peter Sagal is still busy.
Still busy. No, I think you and I have always talked about that the probable replacements for both of us, because we're both going to die in the same horrible marathon accident, would be
fast. I have to check the train schedules for the next marathon.
I think the two people would be Igor and Fast Funny Ellen London. I think they would crush it. They're very close in age. They'll bring a fresh perspective. And they'd play off each other.
Well, you see, I think it would be the running friar, Dan Horan, and Lauren Madden, Queen of Feedback Corner, because that would be amazing.
I would listen.
Amazing.
I would listen to that show.
I think eventually we will simply become the executive producers of the HWYRT podcast empire.
Right.
And we'll just produce these shows, and no one will need to hear us anymore.
Love it.
I don't know if Igor will love it, but he's an audience member of one.
Yeah, and he's a force to be reckoned with, and apparently he has one last thing he wants to tell us.
He does.
And I did want to end this on a question for you guys, for the both of you. What was the strangest meal you've ever thought about during a run, long, slow-distance run? All right, guys, I'll see you in a couple of weeks in Maine. Looking forward to the crankle and the 2K. Take care. Bye.
Well, now that's a really interesting question, and I applaud him for being creative with that. I, too, look forward to both the crankle and the 2K, as he called it. In fact, I'm going to do both of them at the same time because they are the same thing. Igor, check yourself.
Peter, no one else is going to call in if you ambush.
If I shame them?
Yeah, our callers like that.
It's a great question. Brian, do you have any fantasy foods that have crossed your minds while in a deep, 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 deep race?
Typically what happens is it's either coffee or beer. Those are the thoughts that are going on, like, you know, mile 8 of a 14-mile run, I go, oh, I'd love a cup of coffee right now. Or if it's, you know, toward the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to have that beer. So those are usually like the little reward sort of mechanisms that are set in my little life here. Food-wise, I'm usually not thinking about food. I have to say, I sometimes will think about the food I had just eaten, for example, or the night before. But I don't have food fantasies while I'm running. I rarely get hungry. Maybe that's just because I'm fueling right. But no, I really don't think about food. Now, within 5 minutes of stopping.
Different story. No, that's a different argument. That's a different question.
I stretch it out.
Of course.
And then, oh man, the food thoughts just flood right in. I become an empty, cavernous food beast, and I want to eat everything.
Agreed 100%. But the question being, during the actual long, slow distance of any kind of, whether it's a private run for yourself or a race, has the hot dog appeared to you at the end of the rowboat?
Yeah, no, never. Really, I don't. Is that weird? I don't think about food while I'm running.
No, it's not weird because I would answer the same. I've never once wished I was eating something. I think.
Yeah, all that is just.
I think maybe I've said, oh, half a banana right now would help me energy-wise, but it's not coming from a hunger place. It's not coming from a desire place.
Yeah.
If anything, it's water. Oh, geez, more water. Yeah, that's an interesting question, though. But no, I've never fantasized, oh, but when I'm done, I'm going to eat the biggest cheeseburger. It doesn't go there. It goes there about 5 or 10 minutes after the run.
And then forget about it. That's all I can think about.
But not during the actual run. But now that leads us to a little something we like to call strap on the feedbag.
Strap on your feedbag. Come and get it.
Well, this is appropriate being just a mere few days on the heels of Thanksgiving, Peter.
Yeah, I had a couple bags on during the long weekend.
You had all the feedbags on?
I had several of them. Not all of them, but several of them. There were some areas, some bags that I wish I had strapped on that I did not.
Okay.
So I'd like to lead with that.
Let's go.
I did not strap on the dessert pie feed bag as much as I wanted.
As soon as I heard that cowbell and I knew that the feed bag was going to be discussed, pie was my main topic. And I'll tell you why. I went 3 or 4 days where I ate both pecan and pumpkin pie at multiple addresses post dinner. So two pieces of pie.
So awesome.
And you don't get either of those any other time of year.
No.
This is the only time of year you get pumpkin pie. That's very exclusive.
We're in the zone right now.
And pecan pie, not very often either. So for me, a pie lover, this has been great. Now, have I put on a few pounds? Yes.
You look good.
Otherwise, I think I ate pretty rationally. I ate a lot of bread products. I ate so many bagels and other just, if there was bread around, I was shoving it into my face.
You like dough.
Now, what did you not eat? That's what you were going to talk about.
Well, I was going to say, I was deficient in the pie.
Okay.
Out of the entire time, which really I would call Wednesday through Sunday. Really, you could call it that range.
Oh, yeah.
One piece of blueberry pie.
Well, you chose well.
It was good.
You just didn't eat enough pie.
There's that. I really wish there had been deep breakfast foods. There were not.
That's where the bagels came in. I ate a lot of bagels, a lot of smoked fish,
no,
a lot of cream cheese.
I managed the day after Thanksgiving at a diner, but it was close to 3 o'clock. I managed a grilled cheese with a fried egg in it and hash.
Well, now you're talking.
I'm talking your language.
Yeah,
right?
Love the hash. That's all the things.
And that was pretty darn good. And a side of home fries that came on the plate, and those home fries had absolutely been on the grill since 8 a.m.
Nice. Crispy, huh?
Oh, my gosh. But not so dry. Like,
yeah, because they were full of grease from all the other foods that had been cooked there.
So that was fabulous. And that was on Friday, which interestingly was the only day I didn't run. So I had my fattiest meal on the day I didn't run.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But other than that, I didn't really go nuts. I lied to you just there. Okay, wait. After the fatty sandwich at the diner, I did go to an open house at a friend's with a social media guru, Anna Brooks, and it's possible there were many cheeses, many crackers, many cured meats, many hummus. I may have done a lot of that. Like, so there was no meal there, but that was, 5 p.m. to say 10 p.m. where you're just 5 hours of grazing. Yeah, you throw a carrot stick in there every once in a while, but really you're not being smart.
Yeah, I was very light on the fruit. I got home and had an apple, and my body sort of went into convulsions of pleasure. But I would say I ate decently. I mean, I overindulged, but I never was incapacitated. Well, I mean, after the Thanksgiving meal, I was pretty incapacitated, but that's typical.
Brian, many people have written in over the long weekend about, wait, how did Brian do on the Cambridge Half Marathon? Because, of course, we left them with Father Dan Horan, and you were just going off to the race. And then, of course, the holiday happened, and we've not heard from you.
Oh, right.
Could you update us on how that run went? How was your run that Sunday?
Well, thanks to Andrea Bonnie-Gould, the artist in residence, for waking up ridiculously early and driving in with me and parking and dealing with what turned out to be a 6,000-plus person race. Last year, I think it was 4,500. This year, 6,000.
Every race we touch gets bigger.
All coming to one or two parking lots in downtown Cambridge. It was a lot. There were long lines, and we had some trouble at the end of the race afterwards trying to get into an after party. But all of that aside, the race aside, the weather was amazing. It was mid-50s. It was predicted to be heavy, heavy downpours and gusty, gusty winds, neither of which really came about, or if they did, they were passing, and I didn't really notice them. I mean, it rained. My clothes were all soaked when I was done, but it didn't feel like we were running through a terrible storm or anything like that. And I have to say I did pretty well. There were some challenges in this race, Peter. Often we were on the bike path along the Charles River where you could maybe squeeze three abreast. And in a race that was that packed with 6,000 runners, everyone was constantly jogging for position, even back where I was. I was in the meat of it. I wasn't at all up front. And so that it was a lot of that. You were constantly having to think about where you were, and just to keep your pace was a lot of work, you know, similar to maybe the first 4 or 5 miles of the Boston Marathon or other big races like that. But that was pretty constant for me. And other times it opened up and we'd have a lane. So the two really good things about that race, three. One, every mile, really, really, really well-stocked water and Gatorade stops. Now, that sounds basic, but I have come up to water stations in other races and smaller races, races that shall not be named, where they're just getting around to pouring the cups, or they just had a bunch of people come through and there's no water ready for you. And hello, come on. You know, I'm always thankful for the volunteers, but they were really spectacular here. And every mile. So you could decide, well, I want some water on this one, or I don't want water. I stopped every time. I actually walked through every single water stop to the point where my belly got full and I was a little uncomfortable, but I knew I needed it. And the other, you know, we were in the city and I never felt like we were too close to moving vehicles, which I've run other races where, you know, it's just
a couple cones.
It's a little cone and a white line, and cars are driving right by you and they
does not
really,
feel good. Yeah. They don't
not
care.
Only do they don't care that there's a race, they're usually a little pissed off that there's a race
got in
happening.
My way. Make yeah. me late to Whole
Foods.
What
are you doing? Running. It's 8:30. I have to get whatever.
Gotta get to Cumbie's.
I have to get my scratch tickets. I don't know what they're out there.
So you did not fear for your safety at any point?
But I didn't fear for my safety. So those were really, really good elements. And the other was I got to see a few people, not as many as I had hoped, because it was a lot of people. It was hard to find friends and other runners who I knew were there, you know, dozen or more. But I did see Fast Funny Alan London. That was great. And in terms of my running, would you like to know how I did or how the race was in terms of all of that?
Well, I already know, but I think the people listening right now are, I want to say they're poised on the edge of their seats.
Ready. If they haven't already turned this off.
Well, my mom did.
Well, we've gone over a minute and a half. I'll say this. I found a pace that I was comfortable with, and I just stuck with it the whole time. And that was my goal, because I'm still gaining. I'm still coming back. I'm still not racing all out. I'm just trying to find something that'll allow me to finish. So I ran a 2:02 and
that's
a little change.
Excellent.
So 2 hours and 2 minutes.
That is
but I was
perfect.
Very consistent. My
that's,
mile times
that's
were very,
awesome.
Very consistent. So that was good. So
congratulations.
And I felt fine afterwards. So that's, you know, that's how I wanted to finish. It was a weird finish though, Peter. I have to tell you, you were running along the river and then it got very, very narrow. And because of the weather conditions, it was mud and deep mud puddles.
Mm-mm.
And it was only maybe two people across. And then they had you twisting and turning through this pathway. And then you came up and it was lined with spectators, except you had to run up a plywood ramp, which at that point was muddy and wet.
No thanks.
And then make a 90-degree turn and then race down about 100 yards or so to the finish. I was fearing that I was going to totally crash or
wipe
slip
out.
Or
yeah.
hurt myself.
Yeah.
And there was no point in that last mile where you could really open it up if you had chosen to. And I wanted to, but it was a little too crowded. I would have liked to have run that last mile a little faster, but it didn't happen.
And this was only the second running of this, is
it? Yeah, they're figuring it out. I mean, but with 6,000 people, obviously there's a lot of need for it. Like it will continue to be a really good race as long as they work these things out, because they got some things really right. They got the traffic control down.
Right.
They have the water stops down.
Right.
And for people who run races, you know, those are huge considerations.
They're big.
It can be really scary. I was running a woods race where I probably went 3 or 4 miles without a water stop.
No good.
And it was affecting my running, and I was starting to get a little panicky because I had...
You start spending real mental energy on it.
Yeah, I was getting panicky. So it felt good. So I'm ready to go to Millinocket and take on whatever it has to offer.
Well, that's excellent. I think you'll do very well.
Oh, well, thank you.
Where's the finish line? Which way to the finish line? You can't get there from here.
Now, Peter, that Cambridge Half Marathon happened before Thanksgiving, but I want to hear what you did over the long weekend break in terms of exercise.
Thank you for asking, Brian. Wednesday was a beautiful 5 in the rain, but as you were saying, it's been very warm here. at least up through that weekend. And although I got soaked in a way that I have not been really wet since the marathon back in 2015, you know, it was like 55, 58 degrees. It was great. And that was a beautiful run. And then I managed a very gorgeous four and change up in Manchester by the Sea, which I forget how beautiful that is. That was on Thanksgiving Day. So a lot of people went out for turkey trots and whatnot. I flirted with the idea of a turkey trot up in Ipswich, but an unknown race, I didn't feel like that was the right call to do. I'd like to research a trot for another time.
Yeah, I grabbed my dog and we stole out for a quick 5K, just him and I. I didn't sign up for anything while we were down in Philly.
Yeah, Friday I took off. That was my food day. And then Saturday was a gorgeous 8. Again, warmer than you would think it would be, but not starting to become winter for real.
Yes, it is.
And then this morning, here I am with you, and I had a beautiful 5K this morning because I'm tapering now. Now I get quiet.
Well, I did I found two new trail runs over the last couple of weeks, which now I'm sad because I'm not going to be running both post-surgery, but also in the winter, trails are harder to do. But yes. I guess I'll be excited to hit them up in the spring.
Come on, Bray.
Brian, coming off of Thanksgiving, you know, there's so many things I'm thankful for. And one of them, of course, is family. And the best way to say thank you to your family is to have some good old life insurance, my friend.
Well, certainly a way. And I think it's a good way.
Might be the last way when you really think about it.
That's right. It's sort of the final check.
That's right.
Oh, wait, literally, I didn't even mean that. I meant check the box, but no, it could just be a check.
Also the final check.
No, but it's important. But it can also be expensive and not for really good reasons. I mean, you run, you're healthy.
Right.
Shouldn't your life insurance be less expensive than someone who doesn't?
It should at least be competitive and better for me because I'm very out there. I'm doing it, man. I'm trying to lead a good life. Healthy.
I think you're succeeding and that success should be rewarded in less expensive life insurance.
Well, what I can tell you is that for someone like you, someone like me, someone like our listeners, they should probably get over to healthiq.com/HWYRT, fill out a profile about themselves, and Health IQ is going to use their information, their data, their own habits, their science, whether it be Strava or race results or other endurance sports stats. They're going to help them find the right insurance company to offer the right rate for their habits.
Healthy rates for healthy people, Peter.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man.
I think all of our listeners should check it out.
Because, you know, when people go and smoke or live a dangerous lifestyle, guess what? They get penalized for it. They get a tough rate in their insurance. But what if you're the exact opposite? What if you're out there doing it every day, man?
What about those 6,000 people that ran the Cambridge Half Marathon?
Right. They're doing it, man.
They're all doing it.
Why can't they catch a break on their life insurance?
They shouldn't pay a premium for life insurance. They should get premium life insurance at a lower rate because they're healthy.
They can pay less. They can see a substantial savings on their premium. That is exactly right.
Peter, one more time. How would I find out more? How would I get some information about this?
Well, again, people can go to healthiq.com/HWYRT. And you go through how their situation works, you fill out a little profile about yourself, and then you get contacted by a customer service person, talk about how the policy might work out. It's kind of interesting, man. I would say just do it. There's no cost. Just try it. And they're very helpful. I've done it. I went through the process. They both texted and called. I followed up with them a few days later. We had a nice conversation. They learned more about me. I learned more about how their process works. And, you know, if you're in a place in your life where you think life insurance is a priority, and let me tell you, it should be. You should always cover yourself, Brian. Look at you.
Life insurance is like a blanket.
It is. It is a blanket.
That you give to someone else when you don't need it anymore.
No, because you don't have a physical body anymore and you don't need to stay warm or cold. All I'm saying is the Health IQ advantage is that they have a unique mortality model for the health conscious who get lower rates, just like a good driver gets a better rate on auto insurance, and they do unique underwriting through all sorts of science and other calculations, man. This stuff is cutting edge.
I love it. HealthIQ.com/HWYRT.
That's right. Go do that now. Now, tell me more about your little trip to Philadelphia.
Come on, break.
While I was away, my sister-in-law's house, she has a Peloton bike.
Is that the one with the
video monitor?
And you can take a class from New York or somewhere?
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of a goofy idea, but she was really excited. She almost like sat me down on the bike and said, you have to do this, and strap the shoes on my feet. And I did it, and I have to say I really, really enjoyed it. They have something pretty smart going on there. I didn't do a live class. I did a recorded class. But the fact that you're seated sort of as if you were front and center, so the instructor's right there, and there's people around you. You can see them dimly in the mirror as you would in a regular spin class. And there's a whole competition thing. Like there's a leaderboard. There's all these metrics going on and all this kind of stuff. But the way they have it, if you're a simpleton like me, you know, it's go this speed and turn it to this setting on the difficulty meter there. Mm. And the instructor is looking you in the eye and then she's talking to people in the audience. And it's a really good thing. You know, I if you were into spin or you needed to spend a few months inside, now I think it's quite costly, so it's an investment. But if you're already going to spin classes and stuff, you might think about it. I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Could you not?
I was surprised.
Take a less expensive spin cycle and just put a monitor that feeds YouTube clips that you've pre-selected of classes. Can't you modify this for cheap for yourself?
Well, like most things, yeah, I suppose if there are spin classes on YouTube,
they're all pornographic. But I just would think that would be a
I don't think that's YouTube.
That would be a dollar saver.
Well, of course. Yeah. But I don't they have this rigged pretty well. Like ergonomically, the monitor's in the right place.
Yeah, yeah.
The headphones are really good. I don't know if those were Peloton headphones.
But the price
point is
humongous.
Well, you're right. Right. Well, you're paying, the bike is pricey. It's because it's a good quality spin cycle. And then you're paying for the service. I mean,
as a subscription, right?
I think what I'm saying is, look, I'm not running out and buying it, but I'm really glad that Leslie asked me to use it because I surprised myself by enjoying it so much. So for anybody who has one is using it, I can see why. It's quite addictive. And like any group exercise, you know, I guess you get to know the people in your classes because you can filter to see who's taking
it. Sure.
Say, well, it's people in my age group or people in my geographic area or people in my fitness level, whatever. So that's cool.
That is cool.
Like live Strava, if a whole bunch of people were doing the same thing.
I get it.
But just having the instructor there and following them along, it was fun. Oh, one of the reasons it might be expensive is because they're playing all the music and all of that is archived. They must pay a ton for music rights just to use the tunes.
Yeah, but it's a closed system, so I don't know. It must be a cheaper
rate. Well, of course, because right, you can't get these on YouTube, right? So the rights are paid for, but still.
Oof, yeah, still interesting.
Right, it's a closed system, but they have to pay to play the music, and then you're paying them. That's part of it.
Now, this was down at your sister-in-law's house.
That's right.
That was in Philadelphia.
Right.
Did you do anything else while you were down in the Philadelphia area?
Well, it just so happens on Friday after Thanksgiving, Andrea and I went to November Project Philly.
What?
And we did a crazy workout. There was a great number of people there, 60, 80 people, something. It was great.
Good.
And there were, because it was Thanksgiving, there were leaders from all over the place. I think there were leaders from San Francisco and from Virginia Beach, Jordan, Brooklyn, and different places, and one local Philly person, and then people were from all over. So that was fun, and we did a capture the flag game. We played a little football. I'll tell you this: you didn't ask about my hip, but I'll tell you. After the Cambridge half, how do you think my hip felt after running 13.1 miles?
My guess is it felt interestingly fine.
It was fine, no issues at all.
Of course,
it was a little tweaky the next day, but really, I mean, minimal.
Because it knows the surgery's coming.
How did I feel after about 6 minutes of an impromptu flag football game where I made no contact with either people or the ball? I just made some football-like movements.
I'm going to guess like a beetle flipped over on its back.
I was limping for 2 days.
Yeah.
So
So you've gotten really good at using it in one direction, a la running.
Yeah.
But using it in twisting or lateral or anything like that.
Nope.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So.
Hence the fortnight away from the surgery.
I'm ready for this.
There we go.
I want to get this fixed.
But you know, you met a crazy, interesting character while you were there.
Well, I met a guy named Vinny. He had reached out to us. He's going on a crazy adventure.
Yeah, let's go.
Starting in April.
Yeah.
He's going all around the country visiting, I don't know how many, dozens and dozens of November projects. And he's going to see the country and meet people and talk to them. And Peter, get this. He wants our show to be part of this adventure.
Tell me more.
Well, I'm going to let him tell it. So here we're going to meet Vinny, last name to be revealed later, about his epic adventure starting at the Boston Marathon this April. I'm here with Vincent. Vincent, can you say your full name and spell it for me?
My name is Vinny Cent. V-I-N-N-I-E, Cent. C-E-N-T.
So you only have one name, like Madonna?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, more like 50 Cent. Like, you know.
I love it. Vinny, we were just here at the Thanksgiving Philly November Project workout. Can you give me in 30 seconds what we did?
Basically, we played an impromptu game of capture the flag and then did a little short circuit of workouts and then just pretty much played American or European football.
And what was the flag in capture the flag?
It was a chicken or a rooster. It's debatable.
Rubber chicken.
Rubber chicken. Not a real chicken. It didn't have shoulders.
Do chickens have shoulders? We're not sure about that. Vinny, you are headed off on an epic journey in a few months. Where is that starting and where is it going and why are you doing it?
So it's going to start off in Boston, 2018, during the marathon. A great time because that's when all the tribes come together for people to race and cheer. It's going to go all the way down the East Coast through all the tribes down to Orlando. Then it's going to go over through the South and New Orleans to Texas, up through the Midwest, Kansas City to Chicago. Then I'm going to head through a couple cities in Canada, including Calgary, Edmonton, Kelowna, over to Vancouver and Victoria, and then down to the West Coast, all the way down to San Diego and LA. Then I'm gonna head back over east a little bit, through Arizona, up through Utah, and then I'm gonna end in Denver. And I decided to do this road trip just because after leaving Boston last year for the marathon and summit, it's a different feeling than leaving a workout every Wednesday and Friday where I know I'm gonna see people in my home city every week. Not being able to see some people from different tribes the next week is, you know, an awful feeling for me at least. So, and I just wanted an opportunity to make time and be able to spend time with a lot more of these people, so.
Fantastic. Did you meet people at last year's November Project Summit that you're looking forward to seeing during your tour?
Oh yeah, I have so many people. I'm looking forward to seeing all of them at some point during my trip. But there's just so many names out there that, you know, probably take a whole hour to list.
Thank goodness for Google Docs, right?
Yeah, thanks goodness for Google Docs.
All right, now this is an epic trip. How long are you taking to do this trip? And what is the impetus? What's the reason behind doing it?
You know, for me, I think that kind of breaking out of the routine a bit, I've never really done anything like this. And I think I draw power from adventure. And so I think for me, just being able to do something that I've never done before, see a place I've never seen before, and I don't know, having actual quality time with people that I might not otherwise have the opportunity to. I don't want to wait until I'm 40 to, you know, see San Francisco or, you know, to see different parts of Canada. I don't want to wait for these things. And I feel like a lot of times we can spend our lives waiting for the time to do a lot of these things instead of just taking it into our own hands. So, you know, I decided kind of on a whim, but it became more realistic as I put it out there to, you know, make the time to do something like this and spend time with a lot of these people that I feel are very important and have been very important ever since I joined this November Project community.
So starting in Boston, ending in Denver, 30 cities or so, it sounds like, without just counting in my head, hundreds of people.
Thousands.
Thousands of people. Well, good luck, and maybe we'll hear from you during the tour.
Definitely will. You'll definitely be hearing from me, and yeah, I'll definitely be seeing a bunch of you. I look forward to seeing a bunch of you, and yeah, definitely give me a great big hug when you see me.
Awesome. So look out for Vinny on the road starting in April.
Vinny Cent. Well, that's going to be an interesting experiment that he's about to go on.
The whole summer.
I love
touring,
that idea.
Touring the country and Canada.
You got to do it before you're 40, Brian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
That's a tough one to swallow.
I missed out on that one.
It's okay.
I've been to a lot of places.
You have. You've seen a lot of this world. So have I.
You've toured this country many times, up and down, back and forth.
Highways, byways, sure.
Airports.
I've been everywhere.
A lot of airports.
Man.
Have you been everywhere, man?
No, not everywhere. No one's been everywhere. There's always new adventures. So yeah, I think that'd be interesting to have him check in with us every once in a blue moon at different locations, find out what's going on.
Meet and greeting the great people of the North American continent.
Of which we're a part of.
Of which we are a part of? No. Of? They don't have a dangling precipice. Don't have a dangling particle of speech of?
Nope. You mean participle? Are you trying to say the word participle?
Is it you and me? You and I?
I don't, it's neither of us, I'll tell you that. Or is it neither of us?
Dang.
There ain't no us, Brian.
There's no I in team.
Brian, you know it was Thanksgiving.
But there's a hole in the A.
Oh, okay.
Peter, we don't have time to get down to Feedback Corner, but someone has reached out with a question.
And is it pressing? Is it important? Is it must do right now?
Yeah, because it has to do with packing for Millinocket. What else? What else is anybody thinking about?
I hope Christine Chapa is listening.
Well, this is from Catherine McNamara, and she asks, quick question about Millinocket. I'm doing the half, and I'm trying to figure out what the situation on water stops is. I heard that some locals set up impromptu water stops, but I don't want to risk it if that's all there is. Debating bringing a camelback to ensure that I always have something. The water will be warm or hot to start to keep freezing for as long as possible. Any thoughts?
I have a few thoughts about that. I'm going to first say that always imagine there won't be any.
For a race like this, which there aren't any, but yeah, imagine you're just going out for your own training run.
Right.
Unsupported.
And unsupported and bring enough water for 13 miles that you think you'll be okay on. I think a camelback that's got warm water in it or borderline hot water is very smart. And you can't go wrong with that. You won't be mad that you did that, but you could get angry with yourself that you did not. Having said that, the good people running the Millinocket race have put on their website the following information. There will be a stop at mile 3. Mile 5, mile 6, mile 8, mile 10, mile 12. So in theory, that's all going to happen. But again, it's a free race and anything can happen. But it sounds like there'll be quite a few spots and there could be more. More people in the area could decide, hey, I'll help out and I'll offer up Gatorade and water. But you know what you need when you need it and you know what you like to drink. So I think you can't go wrong, Brian, with bringing your own.
Well, and I agree. And remember, this is really an unsupported free race. So people who are being great and manning a water stop, how many cups are they going to have? Are they going to have 200 cups, which would have been more than enough last year, or 300 cups? But are they going to have 1,800 cups or 1,900 cups? I don't know. So you have to consider that, too, is that folks are doing, I mean, they're going out of their way to offer some water at these water stops. But it's an unprecedented number of runners coming this year. And who knows what the conditions are going to be.
Right.
You know, it's also the weather can play a really heavy role in whether or not people can stay outside or anything.
But that's another very good point. The size of the race, dramatically larger. So by the time you get to mile 6, maybe that station's run out.
Yeah, they might have had 1,000 cups. But by the time you get there, certainly by the time I get there or Peter gets there, they'll probably run out of water.
I'm definitely wearing my water belt now that you say this. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to bring my regular, I don't know if it's 14 or 16 ounce water bottle that I bring on training runs. I'm not going to bring my Camelback. It's a half marathon. I'm not going to drink that much. I'm hoping I can fill up once during the race.
But I'm a kind of guy who's notoriously more thirsty than you are. I think I would bring it. Why not? I don't own one, but if I did, I'd wear it.
And who knows? I might change my mind and throw it in.
Would you carry all my water for me, Brian?
Of course.
It means I have to keep up with you.
That's right.
Could you just drop it on the Golden Road and I'll pick it up?
At mile 8, I will drop your water right there. It would probably shatter.
You'd probably feel good though, like unloading like a pound or two of water. Like, see ya.
Yeah, it's freezing my back because it's frozen solid because I had left it out on the back porch the night before. Whoops.
We did get another tip on the heels of our what to wear question and answer that Igor also mentioned. Someone wrote in that it's not too bad to wear a little duct tape over the tops of your shoes if you have ventilated running shoes. And sometimes you get the cold air in there.
Isn't this someone who is running in the Yukon all winter long?
I believe it is. But it's a great tip. Definitely think about that. But I would argue you would definitely want to go for a training run with the tape on your shoes.
Don't do anything new.
Don't do anything new very first time. You want to see how that tape stays on. You want to see how it feels. In this particular person's demo, it was just on the top. I could argue you might want to wrap all the way around to keep it on.
No, you're going to ruin
You're
going to ruin any traction you have.
See, I'm already failing.
You can't put tape on the soles of your shoes.
I'm already failing. I've already failed.
Yeah.
See, this is why you don't do something for the very first time in a race.
Peter, just come and ask me before you do anything, please.
That's why this show exists. So I don't get into more trouble than I already have. I don't know where you've been on the whole ultra thing with Tim Sullivan. Like, why aren't you helping me?
I'm avoiding that.
You
purposely.
Are. You really are.
Hey.
This has been episode 107 of How Is Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. A very special thanks to Igor Babushkin for his voicemail. Thanks, Igor. Good luck on the crankle. And to Vinny Cent there in Philadelphia. You got some good information out of that Vinny Cent. Brian?
Join us every Saturday for our Sat Stat Chat. That's available on social media, Peter. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Tell us how far you ran, where you ran, what the weather was, and be sure to include a sweet, sweet photo.
A lot of photos this past week, man. I was very impressed over the holiday. It was good. Keep them coming.
For more information on our sponsors, discounts from those sponsors, and how to sign up for the Crankle 2K.
You better hurry. This is it. It's December 1st already, guys. I'm sorry. You got like 4 days left. Hurry up.
Go to our website at howisyourruntoday.com.
But do it now because this is it. If you're not signed up, I'm sorry. I'm a man of order, Brian. I need to know who's going to be there. I need to know how many. I got to be ready. I'm not all higgledy-piggledy on the main street of Millinocket when the sun goes down and just hundreds of thousands of people show up. I'm going to freak out.
I'll have a helicopter waiting to pull you away to safety.
I wish that were true. So sign up now, hwyrt.com. Brian, have a great run today.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Life insurance is like a burrito.
How's that?
They're good to have. No one doesn't like a burrito.
And you can always have another one tomorrow?
Well, you shouldn't necessarily have another one tomorrow.
That makes no sense.